Namaste. I am back with another exciting and very important episode after a long hiatus, which I never planned on taking. But anyway, I am back now. And today we are joined by Dr. Jane Levisk, who is a natural fertility expert and a naturopathic doctor and helps couples to conceive a baby through natural methods. Her passion is to help you feel confident and in control of your fertility journey. According to her, so many women come to her feeling hopeless, overwhelmed, misunderstood, and at their wits' end with the conventional medical approach. Still no offense to anybody. They're just tired of waiting for appointments, tired of being brushed off, tired of getting no answers, and tired of not being anywhere close to meeting their baby. And her goal is to create a totally different experience for you, where you can feel more empowered, in control, and confident in your own body. So you can increase your chances of conception, fostering a thriving pregnancy, and giving birth to a healthy baby with completely natural methods. Her fertility program helps you understand why you are struggling to get pregnant or stay pregnant, which means that she dives into the root cause of everything and gives you the tools and resources you need to take on pregnancy and postpartum with assurance and excitement. I am sure that this podcast is going to help any woman who is going through any hormonal related issues, restricting them to get pregnant before jumping to IVF, which should be a last and final resort. See what Dr. Jane has in store for you. Hi, Dr. Jane. Welcome to my podcast. What an amazing feeling to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sanya.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here, Jane. And the first question I would like to ask you is, what made you unlearn a whole lot of things and learn so many beautiful things about fertility and pregnancy? And what's your story and what has gotten you into this career?
Yeah, I mean, the story is a little bit twofold. So I'm a naturopathic doctor, and the twofold story is becoming a naturopathic doctor and then stepping into the fertility space. Because before I was an expert in fertility, I actually did a lot of just hormone and digestion because I myself suffered with IBS and anxiety. I was on the birth control pill. I went to my doctor, asked them if there was anything that I could do if the birth control was related to it. And of course I got the answer of no, nothing. It's not related. Your IBS is very well managed, but if it gets worse, then here's the medication that you can take. And I was in my early 20s. I was carrying an extra 25 pounds. I was working out. I was trying all sorts of diets and nothing was working. And when my doctor said that, I knew that, you know, something is off and there's no way that this is just how I should live the rest of my life. And so I started to look for alternative answers to see if I could find it. And, you know, I became a personal trainer because I loved spending time in the gym. I wanted to do nutrition to see if there was something that I was missing. And truthfully, I met a nutritionist and she's like, you should look into naturopathic medicine. You should look, because I thought about actually going into the conventional medical system, but I wasn't sure if that was, you know, I wanted to be a different kind of doctor. I wanted to be a different a kind of doctor that listens and solves problems instead of just gives you a pill and prescription. But the truth is the conventional medical system is really not set up for that. And so when I heard about naturopathic medicine, I was like, I had no idea this existed. And that's how I started working with naturopaths myself. And, you know, I had three or four different naturopaths before I found the one that really helped me to heal permanently from my IBS and to take me through understanding what the physical symptoms in our body are really telling us and how they're connected to our mental and emotional state. And so as a naturopath, I always practice like that, you know, connecting those physical, mental, and emotional. I obviously continue to do so. But the fertility came through my own journey, having family members who struggled with infertility, having patients that I would just see and who had a lot of hormone imbalances. And I would just say, hey, let's see if we can fix these hormones and let's see if you would get pregnant. In my own personal journey, my first pregnancy was you know, very fast. We didn't have any issues, but it was really hard on my body. I didn't expect to be sick for that long. I didn't expect to be so uncomfortable. And my labor was, you know, I felt really out of control. I was one push away from a C-section, and it just felt like there was no education. It just felt like you got pregnant and was like, great, strap in for a ride. And to me, it was like, well, doesn't it make sense to prepare yourself for this really big transformation that both you and your partner are going to go through?
Absolutely.
Right? It's the biggest transformation. It's the biggest change that you will go through. And as I started to learn, it turns out pregnancy is a stress. Pregnancy is really hard on the female body. It is the hardest thing that the female body will do. So doesn't it make sense? Like, if you're comparing it to training for a marathon, and it's not really comparison to a marathon, it's more like, you know, a triathlon plus, you know, some advanced adventure race at the end. There's so much that we need to think about in terms of how our body should feel before it's even getting pregnant, but there's no education on it. And I was in the health field already, and I had no education on it either. I didn't know that I should prepare for pregnancy, and it wasn't talked about. And so preparing for my second pregnancy after I healed, after my first pregnancy, which took a really long time. Honestly, for 3 years, I wasn't ready to have another child. I did everything that I could in the physical sense. You know, I did a detoxification. I optimized my gut protocol, my gut function, my hormones. I slept better, but I forgot about the mental and emotional piece. You know, my partner were really busy and we were moving, and there was the stress of COVID, like COVID just hit. And I just kind of wanted to pencil in this pregnancy because I had this plan in my mind that I was just going to make a baby no matter what. And so that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage, and it was such a big, you know, awakening to be like, oh, this isn't just about the physical. This isn't about just having your physical body ready. You have to be ready mentally and emotionally to bring a child and a soul into this world. It's not just about, oh, look, I have a kid that I can take to the beach and I'm going to share. There's so much more that happens in between that we don't talk about. The sleepless nights, the really stressful, you know, like even the stressful pregnancies, the complications we go through, the breastfeeding that can, and we are not prepared for any of that. We just see all the cute little babies and we're like, okay, I'm ready to have a baby.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to it. And I think it's really important to start looking at it in a way that's more intentional as opposed to, I'm just ready to have a kid. Because quite frankly, we have more intention about buying a house than we do about starting a kid. You spend how much time do you take to make sure you save up for that house, for whatever, the dream vacation? And, you know, it's not to say that people don't prepare for pregnancy, but the thing that they do is they want to make sure they're financially secure. Versus they want to make sure they have this nice house. Versus I'm really healthy. I'm the best version of myself. I've healed my past traumas. I am, you know, me and my partner are connected. Me and my partner are on the same page. That's not being done at all. And then you get thrown into it, and then, you know, you have to deal with it now with either the burden of not being able to get pregnant, not being able to stay pregnant, or if those things happened and they were okay, but now you have a child and you have to deal with those things without, you know, any support or thinking that I thought it would be easier. Like, I can't tell you how many parents were like, I thought this wouldn't be this hard. It's like, it is though. It is really hard. And we need to do a better job at preparing these future parents so we can have not only healthy kids and, you know, emotionally mature and mentally like healthy children, but also a mentally and emotionally healthy parents. Right? Like, we can't have parents drinking wine at the end of every night because they're so exhausted from dealing with their kids all day. And that's happening all the time. So that's, you know, long story short, is just the passion for having kids, how hard it was, and how little it is talked about, and talking about prevention of disease It's like, that's the thing. If you can set your kid up with good genes, meaning you are in the best possible health before you have your child, you're going to prevent a lot of chronic disease that we're seeing in the world now, like the metabolic dysfunction and blood sugar regulation, hormone issues, depression, the mental emotional stuff, heart disease, you name it. It's all very much preventable if we have a little bit more intention behind having kids and our health.
Oh my God, Jane, that's such a powerful story. I'm really, really sorry about your miscarriage, but your feminine energy is extremely strong and your experiences have taught you so much that I can only imagine how wonderful of a coach and naturopath you are, and so beautiful. I am so grateful that I get to talk to you and discuss about our amazing bodies and what they're capable of and how you help women who are stuck and confused and irritated by their symptoms and emotions. With just untangling the mess and giving the best gift of a woman can ever receive, just the gift of birthing a whole another life absolutely naturally. So, you know, pregnancy is such a deep, sacred and beautiful experience, and God knows how many women today are struggling to have it naturally, without any treatments or anything else. So Jane, why is it that infertility is starting to become so common in our generation? Why now? Why are women struggling to be pregnant so much, and what is the reason behind it?
For sure. Thank you, Asanya. That's a really great question. And what I look at is I look at the trends. So the way that I explain fertility is your fertility potential is directly related to your overall health. And when we look at the overall health of the population of the world, it's declining. We are heavier. We have more mental issues, whether it's anxiety or depression, or even things like ADHD and autism. We have more cardiovascular disease. We're generally heavier. We have, so all of these things that have been normalized by the conventional medical system, or they have been patched up because it's a symptom. Take this medication. It's a symptom. It's really just suppressing what's going on the inside. And so we're never getting that feedback. And so what's happening is we as a population, both males and females, have been getting unhealthy. So the health is declining. And when you look at that trend and you're starting to notice that the fertility trend is also going down, but then the health of the kids is also going down, you're starting to put those pieces together. And so it's being a little bit more globally aware as to what's going on in the world and how am I taking care of myself? How am I taking responsibility for my health? Mm-hmm. The main things that I see in terms of this generation as to why it's really struggling, this is the first generation that has been put on birth control since they were very, very young. So I have patients who've been put on birth control from the time they were as young as 12 years old, and they got off just in their early 30s before they were ready to start having kids. So that's 2 decades of suppressed menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. That's 2 decades of taking a synthetic hormone, of not having any connection to your body and how, like, do you ovulate? Do you have, what does your menstrual cycle tells you so much about what's going on in your health.
It's like a
report. And so when I ask, it's a report card, and it's like, it's a fifth vital sign, right? There's so many books that are talking about the importance of the menstrual cycle. And so that's the first generation. And now this generation is really waking up and they're frustrated, and they should be. I was in that generation as well. I just got off birth control in 4 years because when my doctor told me it's totally normal to be on it for forever, there's no side effects. In my head, I thought, that's weird. That's weird. What do you mean it's totally normal to be on this thing that's regulating my cycle for over 20 years?
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of women who think that, but because it's been said, no, it's normal, it's normal, it's normal, they've stopped trusting their intuition because their signs are no longer validated. That's normal. It's not validated. And so it creates this, kind of a snowball effect. Of, oh, well, now I have headaches, but that's totally normal. Oh, I am bloated. Oh, that's totally normal. But I have acne, totally normal. I'm losing some hair. Oh, yeah, it's normal. And it's like, at what point do we say that's not normal? And why is your body doing these things? And what is it trying to tell you? What's missing? Because I'm telling you, those things aren't normal, and we're not supposed to feel those things on a daily basis. Yes. So the second component of why this generation is really struggling is we're experiencing a lot more stress. And the kind of stress we're experiencing is very, very different from what we are biologically used to experiencing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Our biology hasn't changed very much. We used to live in the woods, hunt our own food, gather our own food, and, you know, go to sleep at a certain time. We didn't sit in chairs for 10 hours a day. We didn't sit in front of screens. We didn't eat packaged foods. We went outside and we exercised. And those things are not only you have to go out of your way to be able to do those things now, but a lot of us just don't even want to do them because we're so tired from the screen time, the stimulation, and all those things are stressors, not to mention the stress of like the pandemic, the stress of having a job and providing for your family and, you know, stuff like that. That's the stress that we're all quote unquote used to. And our environment, and that kind of lays into the third reason, is that our environment has changed so drastically.
Yeah.
The quality of the water, the quality of the food, the stimulation. People really have underestimated that. But we have so many toxins that are dumped into our environment.
Uh-huh.
We are eating food that's not real food. That's actually toxins. And it's embedded into our tissue now. So when I test somebody for environmental toxins and I see these levels of mold or plastics or, you know, other things that we inhale and absorb through our skin, all those things are in our tissue. And we think it doesn't matter. It's not impacting, but it really does, because all they do is these toxins bind to enzymes in our cells and they prevent they deplete nutrients and they prevent our cells from being able to function normally. And what is an abnormal function of a cell? Well, that's disease, right? And you have enough of those cells, then you have, and whether that's diabetes, cardiovascular disease, or infertility, or ADHD, everything can be tied to these high levels of stress, if you will, that are caused by the environmental toxins. And you can argue that the birth control is also a toxin, right? It's a toxin because it's a pharmaceutical. That means your body has to process it, and there are side effects that are associated with it. And so it really just comes down to this. We are in a really high load, and we have to be really conscious of our environment. What are we consuming? What water are we drinking? What's the quality of the air? What's the, you know, and then you can take that to the mental emotional state of like, what's the quality of my relationships? Do I love my work? Or do I, you know, you don't necessarily have to love your work, but do I feel like I'm part of something and I accomplish something, as opposed to, you know, you're dreading and you hate it and you're in a really toxic environment at work? All those things impact your health, and all those things impact your ability to create.
Absolutely. I agree so much with you, Jane. I think stress is like a slow poison, you know, it slowly kills you and it builds those symptoms that you won't be able to fight off on your own. You will need that support and you will completely need to change your life 360 degrees in order to combat those stress symptoms. And it is truly, truly, you know, it's like a pressure cooker. Body becomes like a pressure cooker. It will only able to take in that pressure as far as it will be, and then it'll burst. Right?
And that's right.
You know, your story is so deeply rooted with your own intuitions and your belief and command on yourself, with persistence and unyielding attitude of, no, you know what? My body is capable of this. So why do you say you were on your own? I mean, why did the medical professionals had no answers for you when you needed them the most? And you, along with so many people, have started to feel that the conventional medical system is failing them.
For sure. I think the conventional medical system has been failing us for a while, and it kind of came really evident during the pandemic. And the big thing is that conventional medical system is disease care. It's not healthcare. That's the really big distinction that people always forget, is that it's there to manage disease. It's not there to help you get healthier. And so when it comes to pregnancy, they can't help you until it becomes a really big issue, meaning you've had recurrent pregnancy loss. So it's been at least three pregnancy losses in a row, or you've been trying for at least a year, or and sometimes it's 18 months, you know, sometimes it's 2 years. And so because they are so focused on disease care versus healthcare, it's just the training, right? It's not, I never blame the doctor, I blame the system. And the truth is our healthcare, our disease care system is run by the pharmaceutical industry. And the pharmaceutical industry makes money when we are on medication. And that has really just gotten out of control in the last, I would say 2 years for sure, but really 5 years. And I have a lot of fellow doctors who started in the medical conventional system and they left because of the corruption. They left because people are not being asked, they're not running basic tests to see what's going on, how can we change this with lifestyle and nutrition. They're simply pushing medications. And that's a huge problem. And so when it comes to fertility, it's all about, you know, there's a great book called Awakening Fertility. And we all have that potential. That's a natural process for the female to get pregnant. That is why you ovulate every month.
Yeah.
And if you're not ovulating every month, then there's something going on. And we need to check that because that's not normal. That's not the natural process. So if pregnancy is a natural process, what's inhibiting it from happening, as opposed to using a medication that's going to force you to ovulate, or using a medication to help suppress your blood sugars or improve your thyroid function? The question that we really need to ask is why? Why are those things happening? And truthfully, the conventional medical system is just not equipped for it. The volume is too high and they're not trained in it. They're trained in pharmaceuticals, and that kind of corruption of the pharmaceuticals starts very early on. So when you go into school,
I
have many friends who have started school, and because they wanted to be a doctor, they wanted to be a different kind of doctor, they really wanted to heal and help people.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as they started the medical school, they learned that, hey, turns out they don't teach anything about how to heal. They just teach you how to identify the pathology and then what medication to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we want more and I think we deserve more. So
absolutely.
You know, it's just kind of time to stand up for that and ask for different care and learn how to take care of yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The other day I was discussing with one of my guests, you know, is how do we even trust doctors about such things when harsh things like you won't be able to get pregnant are told to women who can actually get pregnant? And I see that you have been really stressing on the fact that doctors who say your blood work is normal, but still, if someone is unable to get pregnant, there is something wrong going on in testings and diagnosis.
Sure.
I mean, I don't mean to disrespect doctors at all. They are doing exactly what they have been taught in med school, right? But at the end of the day, it is so unfair to us, right? I mean, I have read so many things related to this misadvice on your social media itself, and it is so informative. I would really recommend all of our listeners to please check out Instagram. It is amazing. There's so much information over there that can really, really make you aware about these things. And what I read was that there are so many things that are recommended to us by doctors that are not true at all. For example, like you mentioned, things like a miscarriage is normal and that one should keep trying. Or something like recurrent pregnancy loss, as you mentioned, require, and doctors telling us that we will require IVF treatments, whereas in recurring pregnancy loss, fertilization is successful and implantation maintenance are the things that need the work. So, I mean, using for IVFs where fertilization is not even the issue, it seems weird. And this is a very right thing to point out. I mean, usually we end up being so scared about our pregnancy situation and that the fear that we won't be able to ever get pregnant or anything, we tend to trust the doctor or just say that, you know what, I'm just going to go with it because I don't know whether there's another option for me or whether I will ever be.
There's a level of desperation
that
starts to kick in.
Yeah.
And that's, we want to be very careful when we're acting from a place of desperation.
Right.
Instead, because the desire to have a child is very strong and it's very real and it's very normal.
Yeah.
But what we want to make sure is that we have a filter of tuning into ourselves and understanding where is this coming from, and not being desperate in our actions, because those things usually lead to poor decision making. And, you know, to kind of with the miscarriages, it's like miscarriages are normal.
Yeah.
It is a normal part of step, but that's something that we're not even taught in before you step into the pregnancy. You just think, I'm going to get pregnant. You kind of hear about it, but that's not going to be me. But the truth is, miscarriages could be, some of them are unpredictable, but some of them we can see a mile away coming. We can see if the progesterone is low. We can see if there's thyroid issues, blood sugar. And that's the whole thing about, let's get assessed before you step into this journey so you can put your best foot forward. And if you do have a miscarriage, there are simple tests that you can do to see why that happened so you can set yourself up for success in the second time. Because if it was just a fluke, great. Then you see that my progesterone levels are great, my thyroid is functioning, this, and it was just a bad egg.
Yeah.
When we try again, you're going to have that much more confidence to try again versus let's just try and see what happens and hope that it doesn't happen, because that creates a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And fear is stress. When you're scared, you're stressed. And now you're pregnant, and now all you can think about is losing that baby.
Mm.
And you might lose that baby still, but you might not. And you not being able to enjoy the pregnancy and to be able to connect is, you know, I think that's what we're really missing out on. Because women who I have worked with who experience recurrent pregnancy loss, they have such a hard time connecting with their baby because they're afraid that they're going to lose them. And so they think, if I don't connect with them, then I won't attach, and then it won't be as painful if I lose them.
Oh my God, right? That's so painful.
But it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. That's the thought process. But we want to learn how to connect to our body. We want to learn how to connect to the life that we're trying to bring into this world and what it will really mean for us. And doing some testing is a great way to, just because, right, you said blood work is normal. Cool. How many things did you test? If you only tested 10 things, all it means is that, well, these results are normal, but I'm not feeling normal. So what's off? It's not a sign for you to say, everything's normal, I'm good now, I don't have to worry about it. It's actually the opposite. You should say, well, that's great that these things came up normal, but I'm still experiencing these symptoms. So what do I do now?
Yeah.
Right? Where do I look now? What test do I run now? Because there's something or someone that will help you find that root cause of figuring out why you're not getting pregnant or why you're not able to maintain that pregnancy. And I think it's so, so important that people really, truly understand that it's not a sign to say, cool, if you don't feel great, keep looking. If you feel fine and your blood work is normal, great. But if you don't, then, you know, let's dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, that will be just normalizing the wrong things. And I think when we talk about this, the fact of trust and intuition comes into the picture. And it is so inspiring how you stood up on your own feet and healed yourself, because, you know, you, like I mentioned, you said that you were on your own. And
no, it's just, you're never on your own. I had a really good network of people. It felt like you were on your own because when you go for help to the conventional medical system, that they will make you feel like you're on your own. But because of my training, because being a naturopath, having the network of community that I have and the education that I had, I knew that there was support. And so I leaned on that. I just want to be clear on that, because you don't have to be on your own, and you never are on your own. And if you feel like you're on your own, validate those feelings, but look for help, because we are out there. You know, like, I'm in a circle of a ton of practitioners who support patients who feel alone, frustrated, and unvalidated by the medical system.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's partly why I'm on this podcast. We need to get that message out as alternative providers to tell people that you don't have to be dismissed. You can have the results that you want. You just need to really voice and stand up for it. And so for me, when the conventional medical system said you need to have 3 miscarriages in a row, I said, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to run some tests. I reached out, you know, to some counseling and therapy to help me grieve and really unpack what that miscarriage meant for me. And, you know, there's different layers of grief that happen for people.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to feel all of those and to really step into it and acknowledge everything that you just went through. And then I, you know, then I dove into research and I did stuff myself, like what herbs can I take to help me improve for my cycle to return to normal? What herbs can I take to help my miscarriage pass? What herbs can I take to, you know, or supplements, or what practices do I need to? So I changed my diet, I changed lifestyle, you know, I stopped. And those are all things just on past experiences, as well as, you know, research and just information from, like I said, my colleagues. And that's how I based my program, right? To like, what is it that we need to know? And how is it that we can support our bodies, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, so we can set ourselves up for success? Because when I got pregnant the third time, there was still some lingering anxiety. Absolutely. I just went through a miscarriage, but the confidence that I had and the peacefulness that I had was very different through that I've ever felt in the first pregnancy or the second. And, you know, the result, I think, is a baby that's a well-balanced, a happy angel baby that I now get to enjoy and love and cherish. That I didn't, you know, I didn't have that same experience with my first. I didn't have that immediate connection and that overabundance of love because, I mean, honestly, I didn't really know what to do or like, you know, how to connect, how to be a mom, what to expect. And I was so exhausted from the pregnancy and the labor. I think it really interfered with my ability to connect with my first baby. And it's like, that's hard because that's a connection that now I'm working on for kind of the rest of my life to nurture and to be in tune. And whereas in my second daughter, it comes naturally.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for pointing that out, Jane. And I think it's so important for our listeners to know that they are absolutely not alone. I mean, even though traditional doctors can tell them that, you know, this is not possible or something, you know, showing them the dead end, which is really not the case. I really need to, we both really need to stress on the fact that alternative healers and energy practitioners and nutritionists and health coaches and people like you, people like us, who are only trying to help them. So when they feel stuck, when they feel like, okay, so this is the dead end of my pregnancy, there's nothing ahead of this, this is where we come into the picture. And thank you so much for bringing that into light. And I'm sure you, as you mentioned, that you had gone through a lot of stress and you were not ready to have a baby for almost 3 years after your first one. So, you know, getting over all of that stress and realizing that it was one of the biggest causes of your miscarriage can really pull you down. And, you know, what did you do after you realized that even though physically your body was capable of carrying a baby, so you did everything to keep your body healthy physically, but you were failing your body in terms of emotional, mental, and spiritual health. So what did you do after that? What were your steps?
I mean, you know, it's, the stress is, this is the hard thing because stress is so broad, right? And what was the stress? What's caused? And how did it really cause? And, you know, one of the direct ways, if you will, is when a female is stressed, you're stuck in a fight or flight state. And the connection, sometimes you can actually have the connection between the brain and the ovaries shut down because the brain is in such stress mode. But short term, it might make you ovulate prematurely. And really, that means the egg is not fully mature. It doesn't have the full DNA genetics in it. So then it can't replicate and, you know, malfunctions are more likely to happen and miscarriage is more likely to happen. And so you'll never really know why you have a miscarriage. And I think that investigating after is really important to help you give a peace of mind, but know that you'll never know 100% what caused your inability to get pregnant or the ability or to lose a baby, you truthfully never know. And that's okay. It's not about knowing. It's about kind of providing you some peace and comfort as you go through this uncharted territory, if you will, especially if you go through it for the first time. But I mean, even if you're going for it the second time or the third or the fourth or the fifth, and it's something that's different from what had happened before, it's going to be a toll on your system, right? It's going to be difficult. So, you know, with the stress, with the healing, the big part of it was, like I said, doing a lot of the grieving and giving it time to grieve, even though it sometimes women will brush it off because they'll say, oh, it only happened at 5 weeks or at 8 weeks or 6 weeks. But the truth is, the idea of having that baby was more than 5 weeks or 6 weeks or eight weeks.
Yeah.
And that's the pain. And that's the thing that you really need to come into. That's the thing that you really need to, you know, grieve and give yourself space, as opposed to brushing it off, because, you know, the truth is your feelings are very valid and you want to give it some time, because as you release them, you'll relieve stress on your system. You'll feel lighter, you'll feel better, and it'll set you up for success in your next one.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a beautiful thing I read on your Instagram, that investing into understanding why you are experiencing infertility is worth more than investing into a procedure. And I think what you just explained is one of the biggest reasons of why after a miscarriage, a woman should just sit, understand what she felt through, what she felt, grieve through the process, investigate what happened, heal through it, and then try again, you know,
do something different. Don't just go into it, the experience, the same thing and hope for a different answer, because that's
exactly,
you know, sometimes I see people blindly investing into IVF because they're so focused on that baby and holding that baby. But the truth is, it's like, we have to bring you into the moment and into the now. Like, what's your body trying to tell you? Because if you're really depleted, if you're really stressed, if you're really tired, even if you invest into a medical procedure, the chances of it succeeding are low if you're really depleted and tired, because you're just focusing on the getting pregnant. But pregnancy is a really hard. And then, you know, postpartum is really hard. And it's, if we just spend a little bit more time investigating into the why, we could save ourselves a lot of money and a lot, more importantly, a lot of heartache. So then you can see, would IVF really be the best treatment protocol for me? Because the truth is, we can see, we can look into the body and understand, and there's so many different ways to look into it now to see what is really off, right? Because people say they're healthy, but in the same sentence, they'll say, oh, I don't have a regular cycle, or I'm not ovulating. And it's like, well, that means you're not healthy, because that's a normal part of the human, right? So again, normalizing some of these things that really aren't normal. And then the ego steps in and says, no, I don't have any problem. I'm a special case. But if infertility rates are rising, if IVF rates are rising, then is it just everybody's a special case now, or is our something wrong in our environment? And again, like, I hate to bring it up, but IVF is pharmaceutical treatment. So guess who's benefiting? And like, yes, of course, I'm not harping on IVF, but after a certain amount of cycles, we need to look and say, what's happening here? Why is this happening? You know, and it's way cheaper to invest into some testing and figure out what's going on than just diving into it.
Yeah, IVF treatments are so expensive. You know, it takes so much from two people, financially, emotionally, everything. You know, instead of investing into something of a sustainable and a more healthier solution, I will never be able to understand why a person would choose IVF over something so nourishing and, you know, something that is so better.
But I think it's just lack of knowledge.
Yeah,
it's lack of knowledge. I think it's lack of belief. I mean, I have a lot of people who don't believe after they've been told so many times that they can get pregnant. You know, sometimes, like, I'll get people to invest $3,000, maybe $5,000 into testing, And for some people, they think it's so expensive to do the testing, but they'll consider IVF because they think there's more guarantee.
I think
And
they're
it's like
just
there
looking
isn't
for quick
guarantee
fixes.
though.
Yeah, they're just looking for quick fixes. You know, they don't want to put in
That's it. That's
that effort,
it.
that goes into
Yeah.
healing themselves. And they believe that they are completely
Because it's
fine.
work.
Yeah, because it's a lot of work. And, you know, I think it's just that after a lot of talk with the doctors, when the doctors are like, you know, you are completely fine. It's just that you're not able to get pregnant, and IVF will help you with that. I
Yes.
think a lot of these stigmas and all of these things flying around, and seeing your friends and family also going through all of that, and that IVF also worked for them. I think it's just, you know, that we know that somebody has gone through IVF, and we know that it has been a success story for them. We might as well, you know, try that out. But actually, you know, you, as you believed in and trusted in your body, it is amazing. And one thing I would like to, I'd like to ask you, Jane, and something I'm really interested in is that you mentioned that when you were in the process of, you know, resetting your trust in your body, you stopped relying on an app to track your ovulation. I mean, the way I track my ovulation is just seeing my white discharge, so the consistency and the color of it, and then also tracking my basal body temperature as soon as I wake up. So I think these are the ways I track my own ovulation, and this was what I have. I know that these are the easiest way to do that, but because honestly, I am not aware of any apps that track ovulation. But why
In
do
North America, there's a lot. Like we have, I mean, I would even take it further, but most people will use LH strips when they're getting ready. It's like this is the whole not really trusting or not really knowing how your body works is, oh, I'm not really sure if I'm ovulating. I think I am. And then they need a test to confirm that they are. Right? Where the
Yeah.
truth is, like they'll need an LH strip test to confirm if that's the case. Now, in India, I think it's a little bit, you guys are much more in tune with the body, and there's a lot more education about the, where in North America, there really isn't. And so we feel that we need a test to confirm what's going on in the
Yeah.
system. And truthfully, it's, I've never relied on an app for this. Like I kind of know when I'm ovulating, when I'm not. But just when it came to pregnancy, you right away are like, well, I'm not sure, and I want to make sure that my odds are optimal.
Yeah.
And then you would, you know, use a test. But LH strips are actually not a great way to tell if you're ovulating or not, because that hormone is pulsatile. So sometimes it comes before you ovulate, sometimes it comes after, sometimes it comes on ovulation. But what can happen is it can confuse women. It can confuse them from their own symptoms, their own body telling them when they're ovulating, to trusting a pee stick. And so, you know, that was the same. I just put away the apps. I didn't like, I started to rely back on my intuition because that was the original journey, learning how to trust my body to heal the IBS, to heal the anxiety. And I knew that I was capable of that. And so that's what I relied on. You know, that's what I relied on and went back on it because I know the power that, you know, that it has. But I know that that's not everybody's experience. You know, when people are considering IVF, it's because they've been trying for years. It's because they've had so many issues. And again, don't get me wrong, IVF does work for some people. But you have to, I think if we even before, like I have a, you know, I have a handout that I'm creating right now. It's like, here are the tests, five tests you should consider before doing IVF. And you might still need to do IVF, but if you do these tests, you then are going to be able to understand if, A, maybe your chance of getting pregnant naturally is actually really high and you just need to fix this thing. Or B, is IVF really the right procedure for you? And how should you be monitored and all of that? Because there's a ton of women who are pushed into IVF without proper monitoring, without proper testing. And of course, it fails. And then they're heartbroken and they think something is wrong with them. And it's like, no, you just didn't get, you were set up for failure. You didn't get proper testing beforehand. You didn't get proper follow through during the whole experience. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it usually sticks on the third or fourth. And it's like, that's a crazy amount of emotional trauma to go through, let alone the financial issues that it will cause. So, you know, just being a little bit, I don't want to say smarter, but just more, what else can, am I really maxing everything out before I go into this really big invasive procedure that doesn't guarantee results either, you know? So just being a little bit more aware.
Yeah, because, you know, what I think, like, why women might be struggling to actually realize that whether they're ovulating or not, because it is even difficult for women who have been on birth control for a long time and have been having really irregular cycles for most part of their life. So like 15 to 20 years or maybe
more. Yeah, for sure.
And they don't know how their cycle works. So usually when a woman is having a constant of 25 to 30 day cycle, she knows when her ovulation is coming. She knows it's this day of the cycle. But when you are experiencing an irregular cycle, when you don't know how many days it is, then how can you know that which day you're going to ovulate? And I think that that feeling that maybe now I am ovulating, maybe I am not, that doubt in your mind, that trust that you don't have in your cycle. And it's obvious that if your cycle is not regular, how can you expect your ovulation to be regular, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, and in India also, we don't have that much education, to be honest. It's almost the same as North America.
It's just yourself. That's good.
No, it's definitely not just me. But yeah, I mean, I see a lot of women also getting into these practices here as well. And it really saddens me to know that. But I'm sure this podcast will educate them as much as possible. That's my mission always. But you know what? I think when our body is trying to give us some signs that, you know, if the body is not capable of pregnancy, right? So before, so whether it's a miscarriage or difficulty in getting pregnant altogether and anything else, I think our bodies is trying to tell us that we are not ready. And the thing is to trust our body, our intuition, and the way the body is talking to us, respecting the body's decision to not put us through something
yes.
that is eventually not good for us. So, I mean, I feel listening to our body when it is given these signs is so important, because as you mentioned in one of your Instagram reels, that unhealthy parents who manage to get pregnant have an unhealthy and uncomfortable pregnancy and ultimately birth a child who have issues like and problems with digestion, ADHD, OCD, anxiety, and other mental health issues at the age of 3 or 4, which is absolutely crazy. And just in my last podcast episode, me and my very lovely guest, Dr. Victoria, we were discussing that when a nutritionist is trying to look for a root cause of a child or even an adult's disease, which might be chronic, they should always start with the pregnancy. So that is where the disease has actually taken birth as well. And it just bursts into symptoms and creates a more aggravated form when we grow up and our bodies are not able to take it anymore, because we were already born with a sensitivity. And then pairing it with the bad lifestyle, bad habits, and all those environmental toxins that you just mentioned, I mean, it's not a very good combination. Our bodies will not be able to take it anymore. And I hope you agree with me on this, Dr. Jane.
No, 100%. And this is going back to what I said about the environment and how our environment has drastically changed. And that's what we're really seeing in the health of the population, is that, you know, when you see such a huge decline in health or such a huge decline in fertility, you ask, is it our biology or is it our environment? And our biology just doesn't change that fast. So we have to question our environment, and we have to, you know, take a little bit. I'd never blame the people, and it's like educating yourself and empowering yourself. And we've learned to trust the doctor, the conventional medical doctor, with our health. But the truth is, they're really good at managing disease. They're not good at managing healthcare. And it's not to say that we don't need the conventional medical system. We absolutely do.
Not.
They're fantastic at urgent care, but urgent care is only 10% of what the medical system really does, whereas the rest is really chronic disease. And mm-hmm. so we don't have a good system, and the pandemic really showed that we don't have a good system to deal with chronic care.
It did.
And so we have to start looking at it. We have to start doing things that take care of our health, and we take that responsibility for it, as opposed to trusting somebody else to tell us what to do, right? To tell us, how we should feel in our body and how we should. So yeah, absolutely. We're on the same page.
I'm so happy. Okay. So I would like to get scientific now, Dr. Jane. What are the steps you swear by when a client comes to you with pregnancy issues? Where do you actually start from? And like I said, you know, root cause, finding the root cause of anything is the most important thing. And what do you start from and where do you finally end with? Can you walk us through your whole process of how you carry your programs with your clients? Which also reminds me to tell our listeners that Jane has 4 amazing programs which are mentioned on her website in detail relating to pregnancy and also general health and well-being. And the link to all of those are in the show notes. And I highly recommend you reach out to her for consultation if you need one. And yeah, so back to you, Jane. Can you walk us through your process in your fertility programs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it depends on where you are in your journey. So if you're just thinking about getting pregnant and you want to see if there's anything that you can do to clean up your diet, to optimize your health, come, you know, connect with your partner, improve your environment, my Fertility 101 program is a really great start because it's for anybody who's maybe just started to try or thinking about trying in the next 3 to 12 months. And really, I'm going to cover all of the basics and crush the information overwhelm out there. There's a lot of information now, and a lot of people don't know what to do with that information. And so instead of Googling and should I eat these things? Should I do this? It's really just a, you know, 5 modules. I have some bonus modules as well on menstrual cycle, on digestion, nutrition. What should you eat, both you and your partner, to optimize egg quality and sperm quality? How do you create the perfect environment? What are the environmental toxins in the air, in your house, in your space that you really need to watch out for? What labs should you run before getting pregnant to just get a good assessment? So go to your doctor and ask for these labs. What supplements should you take? Most people won't start taking supplements until they find out they are pregnant. And you're usually already 6 to 8 weeks pregnant at that time, which is like 8 weeks of the first replication. There's so many things that happen. This is when the genetic code is setting in, you know, the DNA. So it's really, really important to think about those things well beforehand, as opposed to just when you get pregnant. That's kind of the mistake that people make. I'll get healthy once I get pregnant. I'll really start taking care of myself. But we want to start taking care of you now, not once you get pregnant, because what you do now impacts the quality of your egg 3 months from now. Okay, that's the future. And then 6 months from now. And so it kind of goes in these 3 months window because it takes about 3 months for the egg to mature and about 2 months for the sperm to be created. So it's important to give yourself that time. So the Fertility 101 program is really for somebody who's looking to get pregnant soon and they just want information. They don't want to rely on Google. They want something that's from a doctor, that these are the things that work for my patients. These are the things that I work with my patients on. And you just have this as a self-paced program. To work with me, those are more of the other extensive programs where we actually start with a consultation and I really just take your history. I take down all of your information so I can connect the dots for you and reveal some blind spots of what are some of the possible reasons you're struggling to get pregnant. So those are the people who have tried already. They're struggling. Their only option is IVF and maybe they've already done IVF and it hasn't worked for them. Because from there, I'll recommend testing. And from there, I'll work with you closely one-on-one, depending on what the test shows. So, Sanya, what I want to be really clear on is we're all individuals. And so if you want generic advice, then you can Google and you can figure out what's good for me to eat for fertility. But the truth is, the more specific and individual you can get for yourself, so running tests that show you you're reacting to this food, you have these bugs in your gut, you have this hormone dysfunction, then you can create a customized plan with supplements and food and lifestyle things that work specifically for you, as opposed to this generic advice that we basically get everywhere and anywhere now, and it's like information overload. So I find that if you want specific help and specific advice, that's, you know, connect with me on Instagram, just send me a DM and I'll let you know if I'm the right person to help you. You know, if I have the capacity to help you, depending on where you are in the world. But essentially, it's like, get a proper assessment. So we can specialize and we can customize the treatment to you, as opposed to I heard this from this health food store clerk. I saw this on this person's Instagram, right? The reason that I share that is just to spark your interest so you can connect with me and hopefully break some beliefs, right? Break some beliefs. So then you can, whether you connect with me or somebody else, the point is that you get some help.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that, Jane. You know, I myself, I'm a big advocate of bio-individual consultations and bio-individuality in nutrition and everything we do. And generalized meal plans and anything generalized is never going to work for everybody. All bodies are different. And, I would really like to tell our audience that be it nutrition, sleep, stress, lifestyle, environment, lab, supplementation, detoxification, customized treatment plans, you have got everything covered with Jane. So if you are somebody who has hopped on the wagon of difficulty in pregnancy and issues with fertility, I highly recommend that you take Jane's advice on this. At least just follow her on Instagram, because, you know, even that advice can help you if you're not going to take consultation, right?
And, absolutely.
That is so amazing, Jane. I love that you have learned and unlearned so much from your own fertility experiences. And this is something that I really want to highlight, that, you know, if a person is trying to consult from you, you are really able to connect because you have gone through the same thing in your own life. So that connection, and that's something that, you know what, I have been through this, I am with you, and we are going to get over with this. And that connection and that support that you need from your health coach and your healthcare practitioner can be such a bonus. And this is so
huge.
Beautiful that, you know, we are not able to form these connections with our doctors because, you know, they don't have that time to sit with you and ask you about your history and give you a personalized advice. The maximum they can do is listen to your problems about pregnancy, and they can prescribe you a medicine, or they can probably give you a short advice or anything of that sort. But they don't have the time to sit with you, talk to you for hours and form that connection. So I think this is the great thing about alternative healthcare professionals, where they are able to form this connection with their audience, with their clients. And then, you know, they grow and learn together, and they are able to heal each other together, which is absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad that you were able to birth a beautiful baby girl, and also the fact that you use this wisdom and knowledge to empower other women to trust their bodies and their intuitions. And just to have trust and meaning in this beautiful and natural process of giving birth, it's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for whatever you do. It is so kind and generous for you to provide these services. And I'm sure you were chosen for this because, you know, you are too, I'm sure that you are thankful for your experiences, because I think you wouldn't be here if it were not because of them, right? So thank you so much, Jane.
100%.
Yeah.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me and letting me share my story.
Thank you so much for being with me today. I am so grateful that my audience gets to know and connect with a person like you. It's a beautiful blessing. And to everyone listening, if you or someone you know is trying to get pregnant but have no luck, or if you are planning to have a baby in the next 3 to 12 months, this is the podcast you need. And I'm sure that reaching out to Jane is just a cherry on top. It will give you the solution to your problem, and it will be customized. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.